Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome again to our special Easter weekend show. It's a pleasure to call out of state to Fort Collins, Colorado, Mark Oliver. How are you today, Mark?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Terrific. I'm just great. And it's always a pleasure to welcome individuals both from the arts as well as the equestrian real deal Western segment. So that's what I'm billing you as. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Great. Well, let me introduce Mark. He's the owner of Mark Oliver Saddlery, a high-end custom saddle-making business known for heirloom quality materials, unsurpassed artistry, and craftsmanship. Every item that Mark designs and personally makes is unique, beautiful, and functional. A native of Boulder, Colorado, Mark graduated with a Bachelor in Fine Arts with a focus on graphic design from Colorado State in Fort Collins, where, in fact, he continues to live today. Mark actually launched his career working for a small graphic design firm, then went on his own for 3 years focusing on the education market with graphic design. But with a lifelong affinity to the equestrian world and love of horses, he took the big leap 25 years ago to shift to saddlery and specialty leather work full time. Today, Mark and his wife, Marcy, who's also founder of a custom frame shop, and their ever-athletic fifth-grade son, Caden, live truly the life of dual career solopreneurs. So that's quite a combination. It must be fun come tax time between the two of you, huh?
Yeah, I just got through with that.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't we all? Well, Mark, welcome to the show. And for those of you who are listening and are near your computer, if you'd like to get a visual impact of what we're going to talk about voice to voice, go to markoliversaddlery.com, and that's Mark with a C. And you can see these really, truly works of art. Mark, your saddlery, did you always start with it with art in mind, or did that kind of match in along the journey of creating these pieces?
No, I think art was probably the initial focus for me. I can remember drawing ever since I was a little kid. So,
yeah.
And Indian lore was a big part of my life. When I was a youngster, I was influenced by a Native American brother of mine that got me kind of into leather work. And it sort of evolved from there. So,
and the initial leather work, was it on smaller pieces, though, before you tackled the big saddle?
Absolutely. I did a lot of garments. I did a lot of very frontier-looking stuff. And truly, the beginning of it was Marcy and I got horses and decided that I wanted to build a saddle for myself. Actually, I repaired one and started from there. It just really piqued my interest, sort of added to everything I was doing, the craftsmanship and all that. So I just sort of picked it up from there, taught myself how to do it, and took off.
And for our listeners, of course, though, who are artisans themselves, they know you don't go from A to Z in one big step.
You're absolutely right. I spent a good portion of my time doing dual things. I would work at night on saddlery while I had my graphic design business that kept me busy full time. And then after about 5 years of practice, mistakes, not selling anything for profit, I started to get a following, and, you know, one piece at a time. It took about probably 5 to 6 years before I got enough clientele where I could actually leap from design work full-time to kind of splitting the two. And then after about 10 years, I did nothing but I quit graphic design and went right into saddlery, but it's a lot of work. There's absolutely no doubt. A lot of discipline. You've got to go to work every day. You got to market. I mean, it's just you really wear many hats.
Isn't that the truth? Before we get too much further, I think for those again who are not equestrians or who have never taken a good hard look at a saddle, you might want to just talk about the complexity of these works of art themselves, just as standalone, Mark, different components and actually the multitude of pieces.
Whenever I start a saddle project, the very beginning is always with an eye towards what the individual wants and needs, the kind of riding they do. Once we've determined that, I'll take the old sketch pad out and start drawing up design ideas. And really, it all starts on paper. Once I get an approval from the client that they're happy with the direction we're going, then I start with ordering materials, and it starts with a fully handmade rawhide covered saddle tree that's built specifically for Western riding. And then that tree comes to me. I begin to cover it with the parts, and everything starts with raw skirting leather, and each piece is cut out individually and fitted to this tree, and then decorated, and then reassembled. And it's probably anywhere between 60 and 200 hours worth of work in each saddle, depending on how complicated the decoration is.
How fabulous is that? So the opportunity for you to collaborate with your clients, you don't do anything that's just straight out of a stock, right? I mean,
no,
each one of these
right.
you want to customize. But I'm certain there are components over the years that you've refined that you can, you know, just put the icing around them, but have the bear cake, I would call it?
That's right. That's right. You've got some patterns. Like, I use a pretty standard set of fenders, which are the parts that go down the sides of the horse that the rider's leg goes against. Shapes that don't require specific fitting to the tree, I can pre-make that kind of stuff and then just decorate it based on the owner's design.
You bet. Mark, can you remember some of those early clients that you worked with? And I suspect at that point in time, a lot of co-creation between the two of them. Was there a time where you really shifted to be in the driver's seat to guide your clients in a direction that you knew that would then create the most fulfilling piece of art that you were then giving birth to?
Yeah, I think the most. Let me say it this way. Typically, they will come to me, and because this is what I do, they defer to my expertise.
That's nice, yeah.
And that's generally where we start. But I really have to work to get these people to give me the things they want in it. Generally, the biggest resistance is decoration. They're resistant to being too fancy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I try to encourage them to explore that more, because I've never had anyone come back to me and say a saddle was too fancy.
Or too flashy, right?
That's right.
For those of you who may have just turned in, we're speaking with Mark Oliver from the Mark Oliver Saddlery Company. And truly, we're talking about working sculpture that Mark is creating here, three-dimensional to the liking of his equestrian colleagues and talent. Now, Mark, you do things other than saddles, though, of course, though, right? You do chaps, you do
That's correct.
Canvas bags and so on.
Yes, I do. I do a full range of items that are for both writing and not writing. I do journal covers and Bible covers and photo albums and that kind of stuff. Purses, bags, but the main focus for me is the writing equipment and everything that goes with it, from chaps to halters to, you know, bridles, that everything that's involved in the writing discipline. And for some people, this entire process is worthy of just having it in their house. And I do have collectors that have never used them.
Oh, is that right?
Use them as sculpture, yeah.
Oh my goodness, isn't that something? Mark, the materials, the leathers, do you buy from across the world, or do you have certain suppliers you appreciate here stateside?
Yes, all materials that I use in my saddles are American leather, American hides. And the tannery that I buy from is in Pennsylvania, and it's one of the oldest tanneries in the country. There's really only a couple that have been able to weather the storm of the ages, and this one, along with one in St. Louis, are the two main suppliers. And they just, you know, and that's a process that's worth a whole other show about how leather is tanned. It's really an amazing process. But anyway, the finished hides come to me, specifically to the weight and the use that I'm going to put them to. So for saddles, there's a very specific type of leather for saddlery.
Exactly. Mark, for those who might not know to appreciate Fort Collins, it's a great college town. You and your wife have a piece of property, though, that's fairly remote. You've got your own view of the mountains. Take us on a quick visual tour of your shop, where you get the chance to hole up and be as inspirational as you are.
My shop is one that I made. I built this about 10 years ago. And it's a barn that's separated from the house, and I finished the inside of it. You walk in the door, and it's a big room with lots of leather. and three or four saddles in the process of being made at all times. I've got it's got a hardwood floor. It's a very warm, inviting space to be in, and I never complain once about going to work.
There you go. What are your sources of inspiration, Mark, for the designs and the motifs that you put then into the leathers? You know, again, you're an artist from lifelong. So a lot of these, though, your own creations, or do you feel your own graphic design background and influences from other places coming your way?
I'm a very self-motivated person. So I try very hard to create original designs that are not directly influenced. However, as an artist, you're always influenced by what you see. I would say that my focus began, my main influence is the traditional cowboy work that was done at the turn of the century for that cowboys used for real work, and that was kind of my initial focus. But as far as the art part of it is concerned, I go out with my camera, I take pictures of flowers, and okay, yeah, I begin with that as my raw material, and I use those, incorporate those into my designs.
And over the time of working with your clients, are there many that come to you and say, this is the motif I'd like you to embed in my saddle, or do they pretty much give you full rein after you get a chance to hear what's running around in their head?
I get some of that. I have a client who raises or actually grows roses. He's got a specific type that he likes. And so for his work, he just says, would you do my rose in the tooling pattern? So he gives me free rein, but he wants his rose in the tooling pattern. Mostly, though, the big difference between this and graphic design is, in graphic design, a lot of what I did was directed. They needed a logo, and it had to have certain elements to it. With saddlery, it's a lot freer for me to indulge myself, and the clients are happy to let me be creative, so it's really rewarding in that direction.
Mark, you mentioned earlier that anywhere from 60 to 200 hours, so with three saddles going at any given time in your shop, what's the typical time from the point someone calls in and starts that discussion with you until the time they first put it in their living room or on their horse?
Well, that's a very good question, and it varies a lot depending, of course, on how many projects I have going, but generally it's between 8 and 12 months is the waiting time for a custom saddle, from the time that we start the discussion to the time they're riding in it or enjoying it.
Yep. And the opportunity, have you had the chance to actually follow that saddle until it gets on the horse? And have you ever had to make modifications based on the actual fitting of the animal?
No, I don't. I've never had a problem. I've got a very good system, a very good approach to the way the saddle fits a horse. And so, you know, part of this, you have to understand horse anatomy,
right,
and, you know, how this is supposed to work. So I very rarely get anything back that's, well, never have had anything come back that's not fitting the horse. However, I may have to adjust straps, so a horse may be bigger around than I was told or whatever. That's the kind of stuff. But I do get feedback all the time. The most rewarding part of this job is when someone gets their saddle and they give me that first phone call, and they're just, you know, the feedback I get from that makes it very much worthwhile, so...
I would almost envision that actually is managing this piece of art to the human more than it is to the animal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? I, there's an old saying that you long forget the price of a saddle that fits.
Yes. Same way for a pair of shoes or those
things. That's right. If it doesn't fit, you remember how much you paid for the dang thing. So.
Well, and the other piece of it, it becomes a miserable experience to have with your horse then if you don't have that interface comfortably positioned.
You're absolutely right, Zara. The comfort of a saddle is really paramount to good riding. And so if a person is uncomfortable and moving around a lot, they're sending cues to a horse they may not even know they're sending, causing behavior problems. They may think their horse is acting up or something like that. And so really the most important feature of a custom saddle is the comfort of the rider. And then you go downstream from there. And that's the part that I focus on, so that when someone gets in one of my saddles, the last thing they think about is how it's feeling.
Yeah, and it's almost seamless with their interface with
their
animal.
Right, so that they have a complete flow from horse to rider, and that's sort of that interface, as you refer to, that allows the rider to have that ability to communicate with their horse.
Excellent. Again, this is MarkOliverSaddlery.com that we're speaking of. Mark is based in Fort Collins, Colorado. Mark, tell us about some of your customers. It must be an interesting cross-section of people that have come to you over the years.
There is an interesting. I've had the good fortune of working with just bare bones working cowboys, people who make a living on horseback. Those guys are always a lot of fun to work with because you know the equipment you're making is going to get the full test.
Right.
But I've also had the opportunity to make saddles for movie stars, for movies, as props, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Equipment that might be used for a movie is not nearly as rewarding to make. It's you know, it's nice work, but it's not as rewarding to make as something for an individual who's going to take it out on a trail ride and really enjoy using it. And so those customers are the ones that I cherish the most, for sure.
Exactly. Mark, I'm sure we've got listeners, and particularly young people, any age people, that really have a craft. What's your advice to people as they think about, gee, I don't know if I really could make a living based on this? How did you pass through those steps yourself? What's that point of inspiration?
Boy, that is a really good question. I think persistence is the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be truly prepared to market your products. It's really all about marketing. It doesn't matter how good you are at it. You have to, you know, I had to work and spend a lot of money and time getting my work out there in the public. And that's probably the number one thing that I took away from my graphic design experience is understanding marketing and how to make this craft and art form also a business.
Mm-hmm.
And then persistence, you just have to stay with it. It takes years to develop it, a following, and you got to keep trying and not give up. I think that's the other important one. And you will have swings. I've had swings in my career where business has been fantastic and business has been slow, and times when I think I might have to go out and get a real job at some point. But you just have to have the tenacity to weather the storms and try different things, reinvent yourself a little bit. I've started to use social media to help market my work, and that's been a great benefit. So that's probably the largest, the biggest point I can make to anybody who's an artist is to make sure that they understand how to market themselves or
that's
get really help
well put.
Doing that. Yeah.
Well, to be transparent, my husband Ted and I had the opportunity, of course, to visit your studio earlier in the year, and the one thing that also struck me was is that as much as you've got your pristine home on the range studio by yourself enjoying this passion, you've also reached out to a lot of partners over the years and collaborators that then can take your craft right to the next level and also expand your marketing venue.
Yes, absolutely. Be willing to talk to people and have new ideas injected in your business, and try new things too. I've learned a lot from I've just now stumbled upon some of these tablet covers, you know.
Exactly.
That I never even considered making before. So.
But you go from albums and book covers to tablets, you bet.
That's right. That's
well,
right.
Terrific. Well, Mark Oliver from Mark Oliver Saddlery in Fort Collins, Colorado, thanks so much for joining us. For our listeners, it's markoliversaddlery.com or also 888-879-9803. And go visit that site. It's amazing working sculpture. Thanks a lot for joining us, Mark.
Thank you.
Take care.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.